Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We have some special friends from High Desert Hospice in studio with us today, and it's a tough subject, but please welcome in Jim Meyer and Rich Trujillo. They are both chaplains with High Desert Hospice. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks
and Judy Clymer is also here. She's a volunteer with the organization. And in our first half hour, we're going to be talking to you guys about non-medical aspects of High Desert Hospice and the care and the love you give to people. And there's just a lot of information. Judy, you were saying just before we started the program today that there's a lot of misinformation out there for seniors about how the hospice process and all of that works. Can you give us a couple highlights about things that people need to know?
Well, one of the important things is that once you're evaluated and you have a disease that's terminal, and everybody thinks that it's 6 months terminal disease, but it's not, because we have patients with Parkinson's and dementia, and, of course, a lot of that lasts more than 6 months. That's really important for seniors to know, because they think, because they don't necessarily get a quote-unquote six-month diagnosis, that they can't qualify for hospice, but it's up to their physician, and their physician can refer. The different part nowadays, too, is that we have our own physicians and our own nurses that visit on a regular basis, so they're getting full attention and full care in their home, in their resident, any place they are. They can be in a senior living place, any place they are. We do that. We go out and reach out. And the other important thing is it's completely covered financially by, if they're seniors, by Medicare. Everything, the medications, the drugs, everything is covered. So there's no charge to the patient. So that's really helpful.
Well, we've had Sarah Crutchfield, your fearless leader of High Desert Hospice, on the program. And, of course, you guys are regular supporters of KNKT and the ministry we have here. So we really appreciate that. This is a difficult subject, because as our parents are aging, we want to do the best job we can of caring for them. But they also want to maintain their autonomy. You know, they don't want to move in with the kids, and they don't want to do things like that. So you guys have an amazing service and an amazing ministry. Jim Meyer and Rich Trujillo, you guys are both chaplains in the organization. I'll go to Jim first. Jim, what's the role of a hospice chaplain? What do you guys do?
Well, the role of a chaplain is really to, you know, meet a patient where they're at spiritually, on a spiritual level, have those spiritual conversations. That's kind of it in a nutshell, but it goes beyond that. If you think about the lifespan of a human, mm-hmm. you know, think of all the opportunities there are for ministry along those years, whatever stage they're in. But when it comes to this phase we're talking about now, think about the opportunities we have to share, to speak into somebody's life, and to minister in whatever way they need. Mm-hmm. And, so for me, it's an opportunity. It's a privilege and just an honor to be part of a person's life. You're developing a relationship with not only the patient, but their families. But, you know, we're there really to meet the spiritual needs, and just kind of help in whatever way we can.
Now, many of the people that you, meet with and care for and take care of are not of a particular faith.
Correct.
So you are taking care and loving on people regardless of their faith or no faith.
Absolutely.
And trying to meet the needs as much as you can.
Absolutely.
Rich, you're a young guy.
I am.
and a pastor, I understand,
yes,
of a
sir.
Church, and you've been involved in ministry a long time. What was the calling you felt to start working with people, senior citizens that are facing these kind of challenges?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was interesting, because when Jim told me about the position, I thought it was unique in that just doing ministry and pastoring people and things like that. And initially, right off the bat, when he told me about it, the scripture of that came to mind was taking care of the widows, you know, mm-hmm. and not all of them are widows, but just taking care of the elderly and being there for them. As a pastor, my initial inclination is to, hey, we got to get them saved and all these things. But really what it is how can we love them? You just said it. They might not believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. They might be some other faith and of the way opposite of me. But I'm still called to love them. Mm. The second greatest commandment, right?
Right.
To love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah. And it's such a special thing. When I saw it as this is a calling, this isn't a job.
Yeah.
You know, your job is what they pay you to do. Your work is what you're called to do.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what I've always done. And I thought it was an amazing blessing to be able to do what I do. And I pray and with people all day and love on them and spend time with them. It's amazing.
Well, let's go to Judy now. Judy, you're a volunteer with the organization.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that. I mean, why did you decide to volunteer and to work with these folks?
I don't think we have the time to go into the history. I actually was involved with Marin County in California's hospice back in the 70s. My background is medical, and I was on the founding board for that in the 70s. And that's why I know there's a lot of misinformation, because I'm in my 70s and things have changed over the years, and it's so much more suited for a broader community now, because you don't have to be housed in a standing facility. You can be seen anywhere. But I decided to get back involved because once I retired, I decided I wanted to do volunteer work, and I met Sarah's sister Michelle, and I said, I could do that, and I could do outreach and education, and that's what I do. We have volunteers. Our volunteers are direct and indirect, and the direct are the ones that are volunteers that actually have direct contact with the patients,
mm-hmm.
and then I do indirect because I spent my whole life dealing with patients, so I like to do the education part and hopefully recruiting more volunteers. During the summer months, we have volunteers from the medical school because they have time to come and do volunteer. But once they get back in the groove of school again, we get a little short in the mm-hmm. winter. So we're always looking for more volunteers.
Judy, what kind of people are you looking for? Do you need to be a certain age?
No, it can be any age as long as you're comfortable. We have great training. We get together once a month and we discuss patients and things that happen, which is wonderful because that's educational right there. Talking to the people that have already been with patients. And there's a myriad of things that you can do. I mean, sometimes it's just sitting in the room. Sometimes it's playing cards with a patient. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can do. And if you don't want to be with the patient, we have the indirect, like myself, and I do the outreach, but we can use you in the office doing things. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can find that you're comfortable with. We like to go with what the person wants to do rather than assign them a particular chore, because if they're volunteering, they usually have in mind what they want to do to be a volunteer.
Sure.
And so we let them do that. Of course, we give them any kind of educational information that they may need. And, of course, the support from other volunteers is really important.
Well, we want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to call in today to our program, it's 505-338-5790. We've got a bunch of folks here. Jim Meyer and Rich Trujillo are both chaplains with High Desert Hospice, and Judy Clymer, she is one of the volunteer coordinators for High Desert Hospice. So if you have questions about hospice care, we'll do our best to answer your questions this afternoon. Again, 338-5790. That'll do it for our first segment. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. Hello, Scott Simpkins from Petrie Buick GMC and Petrie Kia. That's one of my favorite verses. It reminds us how to treat others, to be kind, respectful, and honest, among other things. That's a core value at Petrie. We love helping customers and always do so in the same manner we would want to be treated. If you have any automotive needs, including service, I invite you to stop by Petrie Buick GMC or Petrie Kia on Eagle Ranch Road across from the Cottonwood Mall.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities, dizziness, and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
A recent headline stated, Americans are fond of the Bible, but don't actually read it.
The Bible is the best-selling and most widely distributed book in all of the world. Bible ownership is strong. Bible engagement is weak.
We want to help you engage with God's Word every day so you can experience the power of the Bible in your own life with The Bible from 30,000 Feet by Skip Heitzig.
I like a guy who says, my day's a lost day if I haven't had a good time over the Word of God.
Spend 1 year discovering major themes, principles, people, and events from all 66 books of the Bible. We'll send you your copy of The Bible from 30,000 Feet when you give a generous donation of $35 or more today to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air and connect more people to God's Word. So call now to give and get your copy, 800-922-1888, or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
High Desert Hospice chaplains Jim Meyer and Rich Trujillo in studio with us, and Judy Clymer, who is a volunteer coordinator for High Desert Hospice. And again, this is a tough subject because all of our parents are going to be elderly at some point. My parents right now are still really doing well. Challenges, I mean, I'm, 62 and I got some challenges. So what I want to do now is I want to ask you about folks that are facing end of life. And they know it's coming. And I so often hear stories about people that don't have a lot of family members. So I would imagine, Jim, that it's pretty important for you guys to be visiting with these folks and caring for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where High Desert, I think, does a great job stepping in. Because not only the chaplaincy, but also our social workers, our nurses, our nurse aides. One thing I've really seen in this organization since I've been there is the level of care and the level of love each of our disciplines has for the patients. Because you kind of ultimately become part of the family for that patient, especially those who maybe they don't have family around here visiting them, for whatever reason. You can just see it in their eyes when you show up. They look forward to those visits. No matter what you're doing with that patient, just spending time, there's something we call the ministry of presence, and that's just being there. Judy referred to that, maybe playing cards or talking. It's not always a spiritual, deep conversation. Sometimes it is, and it can be, but you don't always have that opportunity until that patient begins to trust you. And it's the same thing with the families as well. But so we fill that role.
Well, this might be a question that Judy and Rich might want to both answer, but there are people that are listening to our show right now that might feel, Rich, that they've got to have some special qualifications. They have to be superwoman or superman spiritually in order to go and volunteer to sit with somebody. Tell us what it really takes to go and just be there for somebody.
A servant's heart.
Yeah.
a willingness to be there and to just love on people. You don't have to have any qualifications. You don't have to have any degree. All you have to do is have a willing heart to be able to say, hey, I just want to spend time with these people as if they were my own family.
That's it. Yep.
If I, since I started, I keep thinking every person that I visit, if my grandparent or my mom one day would be here, who would be the one visiting them? and I would want that same care and love that I show my parents for that person to meet with them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see whenever I meet with them.
Right. Judy, what do you think about your volunteers? Again, this is part of the reason you're on this program is we want people to get interested in volunteering. Let me make sure that people know that they can go to highdeserthospice.care, and that's your website. And that's right. I'm assuming there's buttons so that they can join your team and volunteer.
Absolutely.
And be on all kinds. So, again, highdeserthospice.care, which is kind of a neat extension there instead of the typical .com. Mm-hmm. Judy, who are you looking for? I mean, do you need some? I know, for example, my parents. My parents are in their 80s, and they love to talk to young people. Mm-hmm. Love to talk. But as we're talking, I'm thinking that maybe there's high school students that they're not doing a lot. They're knocking out their homework. They may not be involved in sports. Wow, what a cool ministry this would be for them to be involved in. And then you might have people that are elderly that are sitting on the couch, and they may not perceive that God has a place for them. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like these are all people that could be benefiting themselves from loving on people. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I was raised that you give back. I mean, that was just the way I was raised. We always had to volunteer and give back as growing up. And I find it extremely rewarding. And what's really fun is when we have our volunteer meetings, the young people that we do have, they find it really fun because they learn. Often they get an older patient that likes to tell stories and they find out and they're learning. So it's, you said the older people like the younger people. Well, we learn from each other.
Yeah.
And that's what's really nice. And we had one fellow that I did the program last year with him. He's a volunteer. He was reading to this gentleman all the time because he wanted to be read to. Mm-hmm. And one day he asked the gentleman something and the gentleman never quieted down. He kept talking. But it was just a matter of he didn't think to say, to ask a question about him personally. Mm-hmm. And as we get older, I think we tend to want to share our lives and our experiences with people. Mm-hmm. I'm older. I'm the oldest one in this room right now. So I have a tendency to do that and tell stories. And I think that that's true. The younger people that are in hospice, I think, would be a little more difficult to work with because they're more of on a level where perhaps they would need more spiritual guidance when they're younger. But the reward from just doing volunteer work is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And even though you are pastors and get a salary, mm-hmm. you're basically doing your
ministry.
Yeah, you're absolutely. Doing a ministry absolutely. And you're doing volunteer work. So it's the same thing.
Can I just add something to that
yeah,
real
absolutely.
Quick? I'm a story guy, so I love hearing people's stories. And I'm just thinking back to some patients I've even seen this week of, I've got a gentleman who was in the Royal Navy, and telling me an experience he had. He got to meet the Queen Mother, and it's like I imagine Ken Burns coming in with his crew and filming these documentaries and things. But it's so enriching. Mm-hmm. And I think, one of the things I love about, growing up and being in a younger generation and some of the patients I'm visiting with now is just the richness of that kind of that heritage, the wisdom that they have. And they just have so much life still to share. Mm-hmm. Even at this stage, and you can see it in their faces, just the change that comes over them when they get to talk about them, their lives and their families and things like that. It's just been a great reward for me. So mm-hmm.
I would imagine that the sports stories get a little better when they get to this. Everybody I know,
oh, yeah. fish get a little bit longer.
That's right. Yeah. I know people that they ran a 32-second 220, but somehow it gets down to about 26 seconds when they get a little older, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I everybody knows I'd be lying if I told any track stories, but I've got some basketball stories I can share are a lot better than the actual facts, let me tell you.
Right.
Well, I had a gentleman share with me. He was a Golden Glove boxer.
Oh, nice.
And it was true. Yeah, he's mm-hmm. like, I box. Yeah, yeah. Some true stories for sure.
Yeah. Well, I especially love New Mexico because we always say that we live in a big, small town.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the older folks, this community of Albuquerque was probably 200, 250,000 when most of them were young. Mm. So a lot of the old timers are people that they know and they know of. As large as our city is now, I was in college, from 1976 to 1980, and virtually every basketball player in our community during that time, we all know each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, I can only imagine that for folks that are in their 80s, that that's even more so true.
Definitely.
I want to go now to Rich. Rich, as a pastor and as a chaplain, tell us the thing that's most difficult for you. Is it when you walk in and somebody's just not only facing end of life, but they're by themselves? I mean, tell us the tough part and what mm-hmm. you do to encourage people.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, the toughest part is when you have a patient who can't communicate mm-hmm. at all. And, I had somebody like that the other day and you're talking with them and you're trying to say hi or, anything like that. And they're just looking at you and they're just smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh shoot, what do I do?
but things like strokes and other things make it so
difficult. Exactly what I was going to say. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So like my colleagues here was saying is that presence, that caring presence. Mm-hmm. So, them seeing you, that you're willing to just sit there, not just say, okay, well, since you can't speak to me, I'm going to go. But you sit there. And so I did that the other day. I stayed there and I told them, I said, just so you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to read with you. I'm going to pray with you. I'm just going to encourage you. And I stayed there for 45 minutes.
Nice.
And he didn't say a word, but I was able to just love on him regardless. And he could see that and he would smile a lot over mm-hmm. and over again. So they know that you're there for them.
Right.
But it is difficult to see that. It's hard to see that.
Well, Judy, you're hearing your chaplains who are on staff with High Desert Hospice, and then you're putting together a whole different group that's doing probably a lot of similar things, trying to encourage people
Absolutely.
In every way possible. Mm-hmm. How do people get in touch with the ministry, and is it all through your website that you want people to contact you that are interested in volunteering?
Yes, or they can even call. We have an office.
Okay.
And it's a family-run business. One of the things that I love about it is you walk in and there's grandbabies and there's a dog.
Puppies.
I mean, it is definitely family. And I think that's why of all the hospices we may have in the community, I particularly care about this one because it is family. And they've gone through a lot of this themselves, and that's the reason why it was started. So the history is there. It's really lovely from that aspect. But you can call. You can walk in the door.
Can you give us the phone number? Do you know that? I
got it right here. 205, so it's 505-205-3400.
And you have people that will walk people through the process if –
Absolutely.
You know,
if
you know that this is some years out, still a good time to call and make a plan and at least know who you're going to talk to, and you walk people through that process.
The important thing, too, is that a lot of people think that they're going to be stuck with a schedule, and that's not necessarily so. As a volunteer, you have your own schedule. If you can only volunteer 3 hours a week, they'll be happy. So whatever it is, I found with myself when I talk to people about volunteering, I'll get somebody, I'll say, oh, my daughter has a car and I can't do that. And I said, you set your own schedule. It's not like you have a boss then you're getting paid and you have to be there from 8 to 5. You get to work it around your schedule and what's comfortable for you. And then when you do meet the patients involved, you fall in love with the patients and then you find out that you're putting the stress on yourself maybe for more hours than you have, but it's so important. It's a volunteer situation where you can pick and choose what you want to do. Because we certainly aren't going to turn you down if you want to volunteer.
And again, the website is highdeserthospice.care. The phone number 505-205-3400 if you're interested in being a volunteer. Jim, you have a reputation in the community as being a guy that can sing a little bit and lead some worship.
I'm not sure who you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes,
do you do any music at all
your
position now?
Yeah, we do. My wife and I, you know, we met in a music ministry way back in the day and we toured and fell in love and we've been in worship ministry since then, you know, for the last 20 plus years. And so we still do some of that. In fact, we're talking about getting some songs together, and we're going to go to Christmas caroling to some of the facilities that our hospice patients are in. And,
wow.
And just, you know, just have a blast with our
You know,
folks.
I was actually just asked by a couple friends of mine. They were saying that they'd really like the opportunity to go caroling. I don't know if you open that up to anybody to go with you, but again,
sure.
Oh, yes.
If you're interested
sure.
in going caroling, I might tell people to go to highdeserthospice.care, and maybe you'd
that's
have some
right.
volunteers to go out
or
with
Or they
you.
Can email me, and that's just jim@highdeserthospice.care.
Okay.
Rich also is pretty musical.
He's is that right, Rich?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's yeah
good.
My whole life, yeah. Yeah. I was actually singing to a patient today. Yeah.
I am rhythmically challenged.
All right.
So I can remember years ago when my friend Chet Evans was the worship leader at Calvary Albuquerque. Chet would say to me, you know, I want you to make a joyful noise, but it might be better for you to just hum while the rest of us are singing.
Oh, that's good.
Chet would probably be mad at me, but, yeah, I could barely carry a tune. And, yeah, rhythm is not my thing.
But, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I appreciate worship very much. And I was asking about music because I just think, even in this difficult time where people are in need of hospice care, you seem like the individuals that'll kind of make it fun. Have some fun conversations and, take the, distract people from, you know, worry and just get them to relax and enjoy what they have left.
Yeah.
Jim, I asked a little bit earlier of Rich, what's the most challenging thing to you? Where would you think?
I kind of concur with what Rich says. I think of course it's challenging when you build a relationship with a patient and their family and that patient ends up passing. Mm-hmm. So that's never easy. Mm-hmm. But there is that rewarding aspect, knowing that you were kind of there, you were part of that process with them. And then your focus goes on to the family, you know, and you're still developing that relationship and you know, you're following up with that family, seeing how they're doing. You're maintaining that relationship. You're there for them, you know, in a spiritual sense, kind of as a pastoral caregiver, or whatever they happen to need, you know. And so I had a family that I just met the patient on one evening, and it was the first time I met this family. And I got the call the next day, got a call that this patient had passed. I went there, hung out with the family, and I'm still a relative stranger to these folks. So I'm trying to navigate that. Okay, what do I say? Who do I talk to? Or just hang back and let the family be together. And, you know, cause it's overwhelming. They've got all kinds of family coming in, from out of town or wherever. But I remember I talked to the son before I left that evening, and I just said, you know, I'm here for you. Here's my, you know, you have my number. And I said, I realize that I'm still a relative stranger to your family. He says, oh no. He says, your presence means so much just that you're here. You bring a calming presence. And he was thankful just for, you know, the fact that I put a hand on his mom's shoulder and she asked me to pray for the patient who had gone and pray for the family. And so those opportunities, you can't take them for granted because mm-hmm. you never know what the way you're speaking into people's lives. And that's such a rich opportunity.
Neat stuff. High Desert Hospice Chaplains, Jim Meyer and Rich Trujillo in studio, and their volunteer coordinator, Judy Clymer. Judy, can you advise families? I can tell you my dad said, I'm tired of you guys asking me how I'm doing. You know, I have myself and three younger sisters, and every time we call, it's just almost automatic. Well, how you guys doing? And it's almost like we're asking with this expectation that they're going to give us this dramatic presentation about all the pain they're feeling. And they really don't want to go there. They'd rather just, hey, how are you guys? They want to know what. Judy, do you concur with that?
The funny thing is I had just told these two gentlemen a story before we went on air. I worked in hematology oncology for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I had a young man who was getting his master's degree. I'm going to try to keep it together. Master's degree, and we diagnosed him with acute lymphatic leukemia, and we had a very short period of time. And I was running the lab. My undergraduate degree is in medical technology, and he would come in, and I'd be drawing his blood. And I said to him one day, I said, Manny, how's it going? And he said, I am so sick of people asking me how I am. He says, I want to say, I'm dying. What do you mean? How am I? Oh. I know, because it was very frustrating for him. So it's really interesting. It taught me that you have to kind of step back and let them, and you two guys, I'm sure, are feeling that with the pastoral work you're doing. You kind of have to step back and let them tell you what's going on instead of saying, how are you feeling? You know, perhaps maybe what can I do for you today? Mm-hmm. Or something along those lines, and then they open up. But it is true. I mean, people have a tendency to do that. How are you feeling? How are you feeling?
Right.
I think from my medical experience, I find myself, when I do have an ache and a pain, I never tell anybody because I used to say it was because I worked in a field and had to hear that problem. But I also think that sometimes people just ask and they really don't want to know.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's a programmed response.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So chaplains, either one of you, what are the questions you get from people at this stage of life where they're in hospice? Are they worried about whether they will be in heaven. Are they worried about the score of the Lobo game yesterday? Tell me where they're at.
You know, I think so far in my experience, it's kind of all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we talked a little bit earlier that not every patient we see is a believer or mm-hmm. they don't necessarily come from any kind of faith heritage. And so sometimes it's just, sometimes it's just like what Judy's saying is just you're visiting with patients. You're trying to build trust and build that relationship. And, you know, you pray for opportunities to speak into their lives. You know, sometimes those questions will come from families of the loved one, you know, of the patient. But just, I can't think of any specific questions right now other than what you kind of said.
Sure.
Well, the score of the Lobo game, I haven't had that one yet.
I'm going to be asking that till I'm about 90.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
I want to know how the Lobo women and the Lobo men do.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll always be winning, but it depends on whether the patients have access to a television or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I had a question today, and he, like we were speaking earlier, the husband and the wife were very different, but the husband said, you know, when can I get out of here? And the wife was like, we're here, we're good. And so, I mean, just kind of that question. Sometimes they get frustrated where they're at, and he wants to be able to work and do things, but he's like, I don't want to be here anymore. So I was like, well, but it's okay, man. I'm glad I'm able to meet you and spend time with you. He's like, well, I'm glad too. And so, I mean, it just depends, I guess, on the person's situation.
The person.
Yeah.
Hey, I really appreciate y'all being here on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
You've shared your heart. Yes. Obviously, High Desert Hospice is extending some amazing care at all levels. Today, we're talking about the non-medical side and coordinating volunteers and your pastoral care. And it sounds like you guys are really having a great impact on a lot of people. So thank you for sharing that. Well, back on the program, maybe get a little bit more specific about things that you're doing. So thank you for joining us. In our second half hour today, we're going to have the community liaisons for High Desert Hospice on the program to talk about what they're doing and how their outreach is working in the community. So again, thank you all for being
here.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you.
They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Bodies World Class Gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Most people dream of a white Christmas, but this year, John Thomas Jewelers is hoping for a snowy New Year's. If it snows just 1 inch or more on New Year's Day, your jewelry purchase this Christmas season is absolutely free. Tennis bracelets, earrings, even diamond engagement rings, you name it, it could all be free. For details and to see our amazing selection and prices, visit the store at 2440 Louisiana Boulevard Northeast on the third floor of the Lewis University building. This could be your very Merry Christmas indeed.
Hi, and we're back with today's Money Wise Minute with Rob West.
Are you content with what God has provided you? Christians profess not only to believe in God, but that He is always faithful. God promised to provide for our needs, and if we're not content, we're guilty of greed and disbelief. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, and martyred for proclaiming the gospel. In Philippians 4, he said, "I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." The secret is understanding that God owns everything. He provides and determines our needs. The world says we deserve more, but Psalm 37 tells us, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart."
And you can learn more about trusting God with your finances and find some tools that'll help when you visit moneywise.org. That's moneywise.org.
Hi, this is Sarah Crutchfield with High Desert Hospice. Our family at High Desert Hospice would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Online at highdeserthospice.care. That's highdeserthospice.care. Merry Christmas.
This is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect 2.0, heard each weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KNKT. Did you know that there are only three radio formats that tend not to be relegated to the background? They are talk radio, Christian, and sports. Audiences of these stations have their attention riveted to the content of the station itself. Advertisers on KNKT enjoy front page status, and our loyal KNKT family listens to your information. They don't just hear it. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com.
A silent night, a star above, a blessed gift of hope and love. Merry Christmas to you and your whole family from the staff here at Christian Brothers Automotive in Albuquerque and Rio Rancho.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. We're talking about hospice care, and for a lot of families out there, it is a big challenge. We want to make sure that we're loving on our folks and members of our family that are facing end-of-life times. And I don't even want to call it an issue. It's just something we all face. And I've got the community liaisons for High Desert Hospice, William Fogelman and Charles Paez in studio. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Tell us what a community liaison does for High Desert Hospice.
So a community liaison, we are basically the people, you know, that meet with families, meet with hospitals, physicians, and we're that basically that family and patient care, that focus, that person in between.
So Charles, if somebody has a question now, I mean, you know, they're hearing that your services are available and they call or they go to your website. Are you two the gentlemen that come out and meet with people and talk to them about what's going on?
You know, we certainly can be the people. I think being that we are a family owned business, everybody really does like to get involved.
I got you.
And so we absolutely are two of the people that are happy to help.
Right. Tell us about the common myths about hospice.
I think probably I would have to say that the most common myth is that if someone is on hospice, they are that they only have, you know, 2 weeks to live.
Oh.
Or that it is something that's imminent, something that like this is the end. And I think that is absolutely not true.
That's not the case.
Right. Not at all.
So there's some benefits that will be paid through Medicare that everyone is entitled to. Is that correct?
That's correct. So most insurances will pay for hospice care. They will pay for the majority, 100%. Medicare, Medicaid, those insurances will help with hospice services. And it's a great, great program to be able to be comfortable at home, mm-hmm. To be able to have that nursing come to your house for you. And it really helps the family out with, you know, the everyday hustle and bustle, trying to figure out how they're going to get mom or dad to the hospital, how they're going to get them to their physician visits. In this case, we come to you and we take care of your family member as best as any other facility or doctor would.
Mm, very nice. How does somebody make a decision that they want to hire High Desert Hospice? I mean, for example, my parents right now, they're going to the doctor maybe as much as every week, and they're driving themselves. And they want that autonomy. They want that independence. How do you come to a decision when it's time to be involved in hospice?
I think probably exactly like you said, most people do want their independence. They want to keep going. They love the routine. You know, when someone's diagnosed with a chronic illness, when someone is not able to drive anymore, when someone is able to or not able to, for example, if they're starting to lose a lot of weight, if they there's lots of different criteria, but you know, is someone losing weight immediately? Are they losing it fast? Are they just not able to perform like they were? There's lots of different criteria. I don't know, William, do you want to add something to that?
Definitely. So, you know, when somebody's ready to come on a hospice, it's not necessarily that somebody's giving up hope, but they're ready to be comfortable at home. Mm. There comes a point in time in your disease or somebody's disease process where, you know, the going to the hospital is really, really difficult, and it takes a large toll on them. And a lot of times people have to bounce back for a couple of days after they do a doctor's visits. Mm-hmm. This gives people the opportunity to be at home, to be comfortable, and to be with their family members, mm. and to really just enjoy life and be comfortable while they have the time that they have.
What areas of Albuquerque and the surrounding area does High Desert Service provide care in?
So right now we cover the Albuquerque metro area all the way out to Bernalillo. We go out to Belen. Headed east, we go through, you know, the East Mountains all the way up to McIntosh.
Oh, okay.
All right. And so heading west, we don't go too far west because, you know, there's not too many cities going west.
Sure.
And we're also in Las Cruces.
Okay. Is Rio Rancho an area that you cover also?
Definitely.
Okay. What services does hospice provide? I guess I'm not clear on exactly what I know that Sarah Crutchfield, who is president of the organization, has come in and she has talked to us about how you're basically turning over your care to High Desert Hospice. You have your nurses, you have medical teams, and you have pastoral staff, you know, chaplains, you have volunteers. But once you go into your program, you're kind of turning all of that over to High Desert Hospice. Can you summarize for us what that entails?
You know what? Yes, I think and you just hit the nail on the head when you said team, because it really truly is a team. And one of the first things, for example, if someone gets put on hospice, they get equipment. For example, a hospital bed. You know, many people that are on hospice need the hospital bed, a bedside commode, you know, pull-ups. They get visited by nursing staff, pastoral team. And we really truly are there 24 hours a day should someone need additional care.
Right. But again, this is in their own home.
In your own home. Absolutely. And you have your own care team available to you 24/7. You have CNAs to come with hygiene and grooming. All of our disciplines are available 7 days a week. So if you need a visit, if you need help with mom to be showered on a daily basis, we can arrange for that to happen.
Wow.
We have social workers there to help you, lead you in any other directions you might need, questions. If you need placement in housing because maybe your family just is having a hard time taking care of mom or dad, you know, they can help put placement and find a good assisted living or nursing facility, since we work with a lot of them throughout the city and mm-hmm. the surrounding areas.
And I think also, just like the previous segment, a huge part is the volunteers. Mm-hmm. I think many times people just want someone to just sit and visit. You know, we ask people that are on hospice, what are their hobbies? You know, what occupation did they work in? And I think sometimes it's just sitting and just visiting and just sharing their life with this person.
just having a conversation.
Absolutely, yeah.
When you talk about people that call your facility, is there any cost of you doing an evaluation of their case and trying to make a plan to maybe get involved?
Not at all. If you have general questions, call us. We're more than happy to meet in person, answer questions over the phone. We prefer to meet in person because, you know, face-to-face discussions doesn't make a really big impact because then you know who you're working with directly. And you can meet with us directly, and we'll be more than happy at no cost to go out and visit with you and your family.
And your phone number is 505-205-3400, High Desert Hospice, and your website is highdeserthospice.care.
Yes.
Exactly. So make sure I got that right.
And I think also, being that it's a family-owned business, one of the huge advantages, I do know yesterday Sarah and I went to a home and actually evaluated a patient. And so, I mean, here's Sarah, the president, or it's a couple days ago, you know, here's Sarah, the president, and she is directly involved in the business.
Yes. Well, she has a heart for the ministry just like you gentlemen do.
Absolutely.
Obviously. Yeah. And you, I think that Rich said it. We had him in the first hour, Jim and Rich, two of your chaplains, talking about how this isn't a job. This is really a calling that they have, and they love to come in and they're not just caring for people that believe as they do.
Right.
They're coming in and caring for anybody, regardless of their faith, and they're just trying to be an encouragement as much as they can. And they're also not with, they're not having any pretenses. If you ask them about what they believe, they're going to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And do that gently and with reverence and respect. So it's a lot of, it's an amazing ministry. I'm really happy to have y'all in. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back. I have Charles Paez and William Fogelman. They are the community liaisons for High Desert Hospice. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASE Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking about hospice care this afternoon on ABQ Connect. High Desert Hospice is a sponsor here on KNKT. You probably hear Sarah Crutchfield and her team frequently talking about hospice care. We have their community liaisons, William Fogelman and Charles Paez, in studio with us. Gentlemen, again, thanks for being with us this afternoon. Here's kind of a hard question, but I think all of us are thinking about it. I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm hopeful that I'm a few years away from hospice care, but I have five children. And I will testify that I have changed as many diapers as most moms have changed in this country. But I am very uncomfortable with the idea that at some point my children would have to change me. I don't think I'm uncomfortable with that if my parents ever wanted me to do it, but it seems like a difficult question. Tell us how you deal with issues like that.
Well, definitely very difficult to have to change your parents, you know, that modesty you want to keep with your parents and them as well, maybe having an issue with it. There is a lot of different help available for you, not only through our CNAs and through hospice care, because you have certified nursing assistants that
William,
can come
what's
out.
A certified nursing assistant. That's a CNA.
Yes, that can come out and assist you with hygiene and grooming needs.
Okay.
But again, we're not 24/7 in the house, so that support still needs to be there from the family.
Right.
You have options of hiring caregiving services to help with that. Or a lot of times you just kind of have to get over that modest part and really just understand that, you know, your parents are there. You need to help them. You wouldn't want to be sitting in a diaper yourself.
Right.
And you just kind of have to overcome and understand that, you know, you need to meet those needs for your family and help them as best as you can.
I think also, you know, just exactly what William said, I certainly do agree with that. And just to kind of put it in perspective as well, you know, there are people that can live at home in their own homes. You know, there's also assisted living homes that people can move into those homes as well. And as far as hospice is concerned, just like we had talked about, it's a team approach, definitely.
Yes.
And just like you said, the CNAs are there. And, you know, there's lots of different people that are involved in the caregiving.
We've talked a little bit about your patients, people facing end of life, and you know, you want to make them comfortable in their own homes and all that. What are the questions that you get from family members?
A lot of the questions we get, you know, when I initially meet with a lot of families, especially in the hospitals, they have this misconception that hospice is a place that they're going to be sending their family to, which, again, we've touched bases, it's not. Mm-hmm. It is more of a philosophy, hospice is. You know, it's the idea that we can take care of your family while they're at home or wherever they call home. And when we're getting in that process of just getting them settled and ready, one of the most important things for me is because I work a lot in the hospital. So I go meet with these patients who a lot of times have just been told, you know, there's nothing else we can do curative for you.
Gotcha.
And so I'm that next step, meeting with the families where they're in a bit of a disarray because they just found out, you know, what do we do next? There's nothing they can do for mom and dad.
And I think also, you know, one of the first questions that comes to people's mind were all, you know, one of the first things is the cost. And, you know, being if someone does have Medicare, it's completely covered by Medicare. And also as far as most insurances covered as well. But that is also a big decision. But people don't have to make that decision because it's covered. It's a covered benefit.
Generally, most people are covered 100% on those costs, so you don't have to worry about that necessarily draining resources that maybe your parents have put to care for themselves.
Exactly.
And that could be quite expensive. I mean, I've seen some of the bills that friends who have been in an assisted living facility incur, for example, and that's very expensive.
Well, yeah, you can definitely run anywhere from $3,800 to $4,500 a month.
Right. And if you're in your own home, you can receive this hospice benefit. And Judy said something interesting. I think all of us have a 6-month thing in our minds. So if you go on hospice and you have not passed after 6 months, you're not just all of a sudden cut off.
Not at all.
Yeah, you get reevaluated and
yes. So those are the Medicare guidelines. We go through 2 90-day periods where you're evaluated and then 60 days every time after that, just to make sure you still qualify for hospice, which is another misconception that once you're on hospice, you're there to pass. No, sometimes people do bounce back and do come off of hospice and what we call graduating from hospice because they no longer are in need of that care. So, you know, there's lots of different – we can't say when we're going to go, basically. It's not up to us.
Well – It's up to the man upstairs when your time comes.
Definitely.
And you guys
Definitely.
Have an interesting job to kind of keep people comfortable. And sounds like you're a big encouragement to the families. So it's amazing what you're doing. What do you tell a family member when they are considering bringing their loved one into hospice?
You know, I think the most important thing to tell them is that, to let them know, is that we are here to help make everyone more comfortable. You know, not just the patient, but to make everyone more comfortable. And I think, you know, many times what happens is patients' families are, you know, they're exhausted. They're so tired. They're exhausted from taking care of the patient. And so by us coming in and helping out and having the hospital bed and the bedside commodes and all these different things, it's just a huge relief to them as well.
Right.
So they feel that we're there for them as well as the patient. And just to let them know that, once again, we are here as a team, and whatever they need, we are here to meet their needs.
Now, I know this when it comes to any kind of government benefit.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a bunch of paperwork. Do you help people get through that?
Definitely. Definitely. So we have our own paperwork, which we have to do. It's, of course, pretty
thorough.
Pretty thorough, yeah. But as far as, you know, once you receive a Medicare, there's never really any issues that happens with Medicare once you file for it. Should there be any issues, then, of course, our staff is looking at your insurance regularly. If we run into any hiccups, we'll notify you, and we will have our social workers help to get you back where you need to be should there be any issues.
Okay.
And just like William said, you know, there is a lot of paperwork, but being that we do it pretty regularly, you know, we have it down to, you know, probably 25, 30 minutes, and a lot of it is just signatures, but we can get through the paperwork and get it done at a reasonable.
What is the right time? What's the timing to seek hospice?
Well, I feel that the right time is when the family is ready to be at home and comfortable, when the patient is ready to be at home and comfortable, when your mom or dad says, you know, I'm tired of going to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of taking 18 different medications. I want to see what I can do to be comfortable and spend my time with you guys at home.
Mm-hmm.
When you're ready for that, when you're ready to be at home and just be with your family, that's when you want to reach out to us. If you want information on hospice and what it is, and if you are questionable if you're ready or not, reach out to us. We'll go meet with you, have a discussion, figure out what needs you're looking for, what kind of care you're looking for, and we can honestly tell you if we feel hospice is a good benefit for you at this time or not.
Right. And again, you do that, William, at no cost.
At no cost.
Yeah.
No cost at all.
William Fogelman and Charles Paez in studio with me. They are the community liaisons for High Desert Hospice. Want to make sure that our listeners have the phone number to High Desert Hospice. It is 505-205-3400. Their website is highdeserthospice.care, C-A-R-E. Like that extension. That makes it a little easier to remember.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. How can you encourage folks right now? We've got, you know, maybe 20 seconds here left. What would you want to leave people with? Just the fact that they can call you and be in touch with you?
I think so. You know what? And I think the most important thing is a lot of times people just want information and people don't know what they don't know. And so when we provide information and just give us a call, we are here ready for you.
If you're questioning whether you should be on hospice or not, call us and let's find out.
Well, we hope that your fearless leader is going to be feeling better. Sarah's been on our program a number of times. Again, we want to thank High Desert Hospice for being a sponsor at KNKT. We know that you guys have a neat business and you have a neat team. Charles has already mentioned that.
Thank you very much.
You guys, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and all that goes into that with your families. And I know you're going to make Christmas a lot nicer for a lot of people facing end-of-life issues. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. And we'll see you tomorrow on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.